I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So a few things happened yesterday. Phil Mendelson told Fox 5 that the vote on the RFK Stadium deal might not happen until mid-September. They are taking their time. And then last night at Cafe Milano in Georgetown, it was reported by our friend Eric Flack and I think others that the city council was meeting for dinner with some of the Washington Commanders ownership group, including Josh Harris. Now, yesterday, early afternoon, I had a conversation with Mayor Bowser before some of these things came out about the state of the RFK deal. I started off by, you know, asking her how many times a day does somebody come up to her or text or call and say, is this RFK football stadium thing going to get done or not?
Well, I'm getting it more now. I think that D.C. residents and sports fans alike have been excited since we made the announcement that we have an exclusive agreement with the Washington Commanders to bring our team home. And people want the council to do their deliberations, get their questions asked, and approve our deal.
You said last week, you tweeted, D.C.'s on the verge of the single largest private investment in our city's history. We've secured a partner in the Commanders who will bring $2.7 billion and kickstart the development of the rest of the RFK campus. We can't let this window of opportunity close. So, is it closing?
Well, this is how I live my life, Kevin, and it has been borne out in many, many experiences, is that sometimes in life, windows of opportunity open. And those people and those organizations who are successful figure out a way to get through the window, because you never know when it's going to close. You never know how fast it's going to close. In this case, I negotiated an exclusive agreement that runs through July 15th after many months of negotiation. And after kind of our own Hail Mary late December of last year, where we got the site in D.C.'s control after decades and decades of being under the control of the National Park Service. So we've done a lot of work. We have the right partner, and the time is now.
Right. And it's been 2 months since that, you know, exciting, you know, borderline celebratory press conference with you and Josh Harris and many, you know, former players, et cetera. And today, Chairman Mendelson told Fox that he would not call the council to a vote during their August recess, meaning that it could get pushed back to mid-September. So your thoughts on where the council is right now on the vote?
The council has a lot of daylight ahead of it in this session. They can be and consider my budget proposal all the way through August 4th. And we know that we're going to keep working. The team and I are in lockstep on making sure all the council members have the information that they need, and so that we can get there. What I can't do as mayor of the district is, having gotten us this opportunity and secured $2.7 billion, no sports teams are paying towards stadiums anywhere in the United States of America. But we secured a $2.7 billion investment. The team is going to be responsible for building the stadium and any overruns related to building the stadium. And we will be able to develop the rest of the 180 acres of the campus, which could include up to 5,000 or 6,000 units of housing.
Look, you've done a good job of presenting this. I think you communicate very well to begin with, just as an aside. But with respect to this issue, it's obviously been communicated well because the majority of D.C. residents recently polled are in favor of getting this done on the RFK site. That's unusual when any level of tax dollars are going towards building a new stadium. You said last week, you indicated in that post story that the team's not happy about the potential delays in voting on this. How would you describe where you are today in terms of frustration or losing patience?
Well, this is what I know. And, you know, I served almost 8 years on the council of the district. I chaired the council's economic development committee. I delivered the legislation that approved the Audi Field. So I know how the legislative process works. I know the tools that are at the council's disposal. And I think that everybody should be treating this urgently. Nobody should have the kind of nonchalance that I've heard from some that, oh, well, what's a month? What's 2 months? What's 3 months? I think it introduces a level of uncertainty and risk that's intolerable for most business organizations. And the political uncertainty is also real. So that's why it's important that once everybody has what they need and the council has done its own study, which I understand will be delivered in July, actually this week, July 3rd, I was told they would have a draft. They scheduled a hearing. We think they should advance that hearing to no later than July 21st. And I know a lot of people are interested to testify. And then that will line them up for a vote. Now, a lot of people have spoken very positively about the stadium and getting there. So I think everybody just needs to buckle down, work day and night if necessary to get any issues ironed out, and vote.
What you just said, buckle down, work day and night. You know, I hear the urgency in your voice. I would imagine that this is what Josh Harris and Mark Ein and Mitchell Rails and the key people with the team, that they are urging as well, that it's roll up the sleeves time and get it done. Have they expressed that to you?
Listen, these folks have been at the table with us really since last June, working on a great plan. We've brought in the world's best in terms of finance and also stadium development, and that's how we got to the deal that we got to. And so I won't speak for the team. I do know that I have the only exclusive agreement right now. And I don't want to lose it. And no one should want to give that up.
What are the reasons right now? Net it out as to why it's taking the council so long.
Well, I want to be fair to council members. It's a big deal. And all stadium projects have their, you know, some level of back and forth. So I get that. They're considering my budget. I get that. But all budgets are handled in 70 days. That's what the statute allows. And this is a budget item. And so the council has the ability to consider it as such. And like I said, I think they read the tea leaves. They see that D.C. residents are supportive. They understand if nothing happens here, that site may not be developed for decades because we don't have another big investor. We don't have another employer or company saying, hey, D.C., here's $2.7 billion. Why don't you get started at RFK? We have the right partner who's bringing these dollars to the table and guarantees us activity, jobs, and economic activity at that site in 2030. Now, everything that the council does to delay it puts at risk some big events. The Women's World Cup is coming, and if we don't have a stadium on the way, they're going to pass us by, just like the World Cup has passed us by that's coming to the U.S. So time does matter in terms of being able to deliver and the economic development that comes with the stadium being open. But I think the time also matters in terms of introducing more risk, political risk, economic risk, financial risk, you name it, more risk is the only thing that comes out of a delay.
You said 70 days to consider, you know, a budget item, which this is. Where are we, about 60 days since you guys signed the term sheet with the team?
August 4th, I think, is the 70th day
okay.
of the budget cycle.
Mayor, what are the issues with the council? What part or parts of the deal that you cut with the team back in April do you think they want tweaked or even changed entirely?
Well, they won't tell me. I mean, literally, they won't tell me. So I think they gave more to the Washington Post last week than they've told me or the team. And so that's what I'm talking about. When I say let's all get in a room, hammer it out, and come up with if there are terms that make sense. Now, I will say, like, we didn't leave a lot. I don't think we left anything on the table. Like, we negotiated hard. We got $2.7 billion, a roofed stadium that's going to generate tons of economic activity. So I think we've always expected that the council members would negotiate a community benefits package. With having spoken to the community and focused on getting D.C. residents employed, having small businesses have opportunities on the site, focus on youth sports. By the way, our deal includes building an indoor sportsplex
right.
that would be for D.C. And so I think that it's always been contemplated that that community benefits package would be negotiated at the council, at the council's process. And I'm looking forward to that being delivered at the same time.
The negotiation exclusivity runs through July 15th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you concerned that post July 15th, the team will negotiate with, say, Maryland, as an example?
Listen, I think the team wants to be at RFK. We want them to be at RFK, but they do business. They don't do politics. And so I think that we have an agreement. I stand by our agreement, and we both stand side by side in our willingness to answer all the council's questions and get to a yes this summer. And that's important. Now, I've been around this long enough to know, and you know what we went through last year with
yep.
our sports teams. And so that's why having a period of exclusivity was, like, I insisted that that be a part of the term sheet. That's why I protected so vigorously, because I was that other jurisdiction. Okay? I was that other jurisdiction when I see a deal that wasn't solid. Our deal is solid. We have a signed term sheet. That wasn't the case in the Virginia deal, but I know how this can go, and so I think we all need to treat that that period of exclusivity with the seriousness that it deserves.
All right, two more, because I'm adding this one. I'm just curious, how much, do you know how much revenue a 2031 Women's World Cup would generate for the city?
Oh, you know, I do. We have kind of a back of the envelope, and I think we estimated a delay. I don't want to guess. I'll get somebody to get it back to you.
Okay.
But it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars of delay. Of economic activity.
All right, last one, and this is sort of, you know, the way I do things on radio. Level of concern, 5, you're really concerned about this deal getting done. 0, you've got 0 concern. Our football team's going to be playing in a brand new stadium on the RFK site by the year 2030. Where are you today?
that's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I believe I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for D.C. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I will put my level of concern, because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
Okay. Well, that's one away from very concerned, but we'll leave it at that. Bring it across the finish line. I know you've done, you know, most of what you need to do, and this rests probably a lot with the council at this point. But thanks for the time, as always. Yep. Hope you're well.
Thank you. We're going to get it done. Have a good one.
That was Mayor Bowser, a conversation I had yesterday with her. Again, last night there were reports of a dinner meeting between ownership, football team ownership, and some of the city council. We'll see if anything comes out of that. I am curious, because I know there are a lot of smart people, or at least some smart people listening to this show, who may even have some insight as to how these things get done. We haven't had anything like this really since the baseball stadium, and that barely passed the city council back in 2006 or whatever year that was, 2005. But where do you think this is? The mayor at the very end expressed a level of 4 on a concern scale of 0 to 5, 5 being very concerned, 0 being zero concern over this deal getting done. I thought Mendelsohn's statement to Fox 5 yesterday was what she talked about. I think you could hear in her voice and in what she said multiple times that there is a sense of urgency that she and the team wished the council had, and maybe the council has very good reasons for not being urgent, or maybe they believe they're being urgent, and perhaps they are. But, you know, locking yourself in a room for day and night, as she talked about, until you've got all of the information and you are ready to vote, seems to be a path they might consider traveling long before September, because the team does want to make a $2.7 billion investment in the city, and they want to open this stadium in 2030, and they want access to some of the big events that will be coming right around then, 2031, the Women's World Cup. Remember, that's not a one-day event either. That is a multi-week event with several games, and it is a tremendous economic windfall for cities that host it. I would imagine the Men's World Cup is even, you know, exponentially higher, but the Women's World Cup is a big event as well, and this is really, comparatively to a lot of U.S. cities, a strong soccer market. So yeah, if you want to weigh in and you've got strong thoughts and maybe even some experienced thoughts on this, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I still think it gets done. It gets done in a manner in which the team is not forced to, you know, threaten going back to Maryland or Virginia or anywhere else to have conversations. The team's made it very clear they want to be in D.C. The deal with the city appears to be a good one for the team as well. So I think that ultimately everybody gets it together here over the next, say, month, and it gets voted on, and they get 7 votes. And we're, you know, on a path, and the process begins towards building not just a stadium, but everything that will go up around it and on that campus sometime later this year. 301-230-0980 if you'd like to weigh in on anything that the mayor said or anything regarding this situation. I'd be happy to hear what you have to say. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, NBA free agency is officially underway. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. signed a 5-year deal worth up to $240 million to stay in Memphis. And the Nuggets traded Michael Porter Jr. to the Brooklyn Nets for in exchange for Cam Johnson. And reigning MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander signed a massive four-year deal worth $285 million, giving him the largest annual salary in NBA history. NHL free agency continues as the Caps signed 25-year-old defenseman Declan Chisholm to a two-year deal yesterday. And this morning, Martin Fehervaari has reached a deal with the team to stay in Washington, signing a seven-year deal worth up to $42 million. Tonight, the Nats return from their West Coast road trip to take on the Detroit Tigers. Jack Flaherty takes the bump against Trevor Williams. First pitch will be at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15 on The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish Bucks, Cakes, and JP. Got the Cakes Classic tonight. You can join Cakes and his son, who turns 21, at MGM National Harbor for the Cakes Classic this evening.
Love to see you there. Cards in the air at 7:15 tonight.
Now, though, we wanted to touch on the latest in the Commander Stadium saga. We're hoping that it'll go to RFK. It seems like a deal is in place, but the city council seems to be sitting on their hands, or maybe not really liking the deal. Here's D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser on with Kevin Sheehan.
Level of concern, 5, you're really concerned about this deal getting done. 0, you've got zero concern. Our football team's going to be playing in a brand new stadium on the RFK site by the year 2030. Where are you today?
That's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for D.C. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I would put my level of concern, because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
Well, that's pretty high.
4 seems pretty high.
There's only 1 number higher.
That's like saying, what's your DEFCON level? You're at 2. Yeah. The only place you can go that's worse is 1.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very encouraging. That's basically her saying to the council, you guys better, you know, get on board. Let's get this thing done before this train pulls out of the station.
I think the majority of the concern doesn't necessarily come that the deal will just all of a sudden be lost.
Yeah.
I think it comes with the timeline of it.
The date. That's what I was thinking too.
I think a lot of people, including Mayor Bowser and the Commander's brass, want to have the stadium ready to go for that 2031 Women's World Cup.
Right.
And
the 2030 Commanders season.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think they view that 2031 Women's World Cup as a huge
it's a must-have.
Huge must-have.
Yeah.
To be super profitable and early on. And the delays that are going on with the back and forth between the council members and the mayor seem to be putting that on the back burner. Everyone's fearful that these delays are going to cause the Women's World Cup to kind of pass by.
Yeah. RFK. So maybe they don't open it until 31 or maybe even 32.
Right.
You know what's crazy is when they built FedEx, which I think originally was called Redskins, or it was called Jack Kent Cook Stadium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it became Redskins Stadium when Snyder bought it, and he quickly sold the rights to FedEx. All right. I believe that was cranked out in less than 2 years.
I don't remember.
It was derided for being subpar throughout its lifetime.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, even though the Harris Group has poured money into it to try to improve it, because
I mean, there was water spilling out of the pipes onto the crowd. Like
that, I mean, years later.
Trust me, it showed that that was a rush job for a stadium. Like every time they ranked, where do you want to go see an NFL game? FedEx Field would either come in last place or 31st or 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently.
But we didn't feel that way when they first built it. We did the first show from there.
We did.
They started to build on March 13th, 1996. And they played the first game on September 14th, 1997.
So that's a year. That's not even 2 years.
Right.
That's a year and a half.
That's kind of surprising.
Like, you think they put...
I didn't realize it went up so quick.
You think they put up SoFi in a year and a half? Do you think they built Allegiant Stadium in Vegas from the ground up in a year and a half? I'm going to guess that those timelines were much longer.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't a year and a half.
Yeah, no. I mean,
you can't put up a really nice stadium in a year and a half.
Correct.
It's just impossible to do. So the mayor does it. Yeah. I mean, if she's a 4 out of 5.
I mean, if the mayor's coming out and saying that it's a 4 on a 5 scale, I'd be pretty concerned about the deal, like, getting pushed down the road.
Because, I don't know, 2 months ago, she was probably at a 0.
A 0 or a 1.
Yeah.
Like, but to be at a 4 and it's early July.
And there was such enthusiasm, too, for the team going to RFK. I don't think it's in doubt. I tend to agree with Valdez. But if you're worried about this, give us a call at 800-636-1067. Or do you just think this is the machinations of the government?
Well,
it's just the way that the government works. It's a slow process. Eventually, it's going to get done.
So what's different between, I guess, this and, let's say, the Caps and Wizards moving to Alexandria is that the city has a term sheet that's already signed with the team. So it's hard, much harder to back out and go somewhere else.
Right.
It's almost like a signed contract that it's at that site. But that contract could be void if there is a delay, if the delay extends too much.
Right.
Then all of a sudden the window of the contract is out. Now what the council members are disagreeing on, well, number one, the budget, and this is considered a budget item, was submitted later than it was supposed to, and the council members want to cross their T's, dot their I's, go through it with a fine-tooth comb, make sure the deal is good for both sides. So they're gonna resubmit it to the mayor, and the mayor might have to go through that and then resubmit it back and forth. That's where the major delays come.
Yeah, I was going to say that takes weeks, if not months.
So supposedly there's going to be a vote on this on the 21st, and they should submit, the council members should submit their counter offers to the mayor and to the commanders by that date.
So some of those
counter measures are parking, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Who controls the land? Are they leasing the land to Josh Harris? Also labor unions, the council members want to use, you know, certain unions to do the job. It's a very complicated process that the city is using $2.7 billion.
Here's my question though. Why does it, if they want to hit 2030, why should it take so much time? All right. If you want to say that the construction of Northwest Stadium, which first was Jack Kent Cook Stadium, then Redskins Stadium, then FedEx Field, and now is Northwest Stadium, is an outlier. Okay, that's fine. Most of these stadiums aren't being built in a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an absurd timeline looking back on it. It's almost unbelievable. It's like you got to double check it. But they built that thing in March of 96. They said, we're going to have it ready by the start of next season. And then in week two in 1997, they had a game there. Like, it was that quick.
So you're
basically
thinking it should
a
take
year.
3 years?
So
4 years?
Allegiant Stadium took 3 years. It was in November 2017, and it was finished in July 2020. So technically less than 3 years.
I don't know.
So why are we panicking? Is it because of the stupid asbestos? Like, what? Why is it? Is it going to take 5 years to construct?
I think they're worried about just the legal wranglings, getting permits, and staying on a timeline to have everything done by 2030.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're saying it's going to take 5 years once they put the first shovel in the ground to complete it. I just think there's a process that we don't understand, we can't comprehend. There's a lot of stuff has to happen, and it's probably going to take 5 years for it all to get done.
It's not like a book report where you can kind of fake your way through it on the night before you got to turn it in.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I mean, the actual construction probably would only take 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but it's all the hurdles and the agreements and getting the council on board and doing it on a proper timeline to get you to that 2030 date that they, I'm sure Josh Harris and his other owners are thinking, well, that date's probably in peril now.
Right.
Unless the vote comes in the next couple
weeks.
And
look, when they've built FedEx, all they did was build the stadium, and obviously they had to create parking lots.
Right.
But at the new RFK, they're going to have to put up a lot of other structures around it.
Right, they're going to have to take care of parking, the mixed-use retail, the housing.
Yeah,
the,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff.
But that'll sports complex is going to go there as part of it. There's a lot of other
moving parts. There's a lot of construction.
Yeah, but that eventually happens, much like it did here in Nats Park. All I'm saying is, it was a year and a half back then. If you go to Allegiant Stadium, that was 3 years. I wouldn't panic. 800-636-1067. Let's go to the phones.
All right, let's go to Kevin. He's calling in from D.C. What's up, Kevin? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning. I think I got 2 points. The one problem is I think the council's already upset about the money they spent to keep the Wizards and the Capitals in. And number two, when we talk about them other stadiums, they were built from the ground up. You have to do a lot of renovating at RFK before you can throw the new stadium up as well. So I think that's why you get the extra year and a half, 2 years on a five-year timeline.
Are you concerned?
Not at all.
So you think it's still going to happen?
I'm more concerned about Terry coming back than the stadium deal.
All right.
Yeah, I'm guessing you speak for most Commanders fans. That's probably the case. All right, let's go to Kevin. He's calling in from Maryland.
I think the timeline is more concerning for the council members and the mayor and the team than it is for the fans of the team. Because if Commanders fans don't really care if Harris or the city get the revenue from the 2031 Women's World Cup, right? Doesn't seem to bother any of the fans.
No, they're okay with wherever the stadium winds up, whenever it happens. They just want the team to win and Jaden Daniels to keep helping them rack up dubs.
I don't agree with that. I think that they want the team in the city. And we know the reaction when the bill first passed and it looked like the Commanders are going to be moving to the RFK site. The reaction was very positive.
Right. All right, let's go to Kevin in Maryland. Kevin, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
What's going on, Junks? It's Kevin. How y'all doing?
Good,
listen, I'm not concerned at all. The honeymoon's over. The nostalgia of moving back to D.C. was nice, but they're gonna screw this up. It's like Wes Moore's just sitting there quiet. No one's heard from Wes Moore because he's like, yep, I'm just going to kick in my legs and just wait for D.C. to muck this up, and then they'll come running back to me. So if it ends up in Maryland, I don't mind because FedEx Field is in my backyard. I go right straight to the stadium. I'm a season ticket holder, so it's 5 minutes from the stadium, so I wouldn't mind it being back at the FedEx site.
How long have you been a season ticket holder?
12 years. This is Kevin from Lanham. I've been going for 12 years.
Got you.
Season ticket at FedEx Field, man. But listen, it's the nostalgia is over. It was what it was. It made everything look like we were going back. But you know it, and it, plus they're getting rid of tailgating and everything else. So you know, whatever. I'm over the DC site now at this point.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Yeah, he sounds fine with it staying in Maryland or you know them fumbling the RFK site and it potentially just staying either in Landover or again. That gigantic parcel of land where Six Flags is no longer going to be after, I think, November they closed down could also be another. I mean, I brought that up a few months ago. Like, Maryland has some options if the D.C. thing falls through, if the RFK site doesn't happen.
Going back to when they built Northwest Stadium. So this is 1996 and 1997. I know what you say now is, yeah, they built this piece of crap, but it was received as a modern, state-of-the-art stadium at the time.
Okay, but this is 30 years ago.
I know, but my point is, like, they put a state-of-the-art stadium together in a year and a half.
JP, a lot has changed in the last 30 years in labor laws. You had the incident in Miller Park in Milwaukee where they were trying to do a rush job and three construction workers died on the crane. A lot has changed. There's a reason why these things take. You can't just chat GPT a stadium overnight. It takes. There's a whole process. And
I understand that. That's why I brought up Allegiant.
With Jack, that wasn't 1 year.
I said it was less than 3 years.
Okay, well, that's different. You're saying a year and a half.
I'm bringing up different examples. I'm countering what Cake said about it being a dump. At the time, it was recognized as modern and state-of-the-art.
Here's what it was. It was modern compared to RFK, because even back then, RFK was falling apart.
The land was also open there in Vegas.
Right.
There was nothing there. They just started building.
Yeah, it's a desert.
It's a desert, yeah.
You can do whatever you want out there.
Right, but and no one's saying it's going to take 5 years to start the build and complete the build.
Right.
But you got to go through all the paperwork. In Las Vegas, you have no idea when they started to talk to the city about, you know, finding the land and then agreeing to the builders and agreeing to all the laws and changing the laws. We have no idea.
Now, SoFi,
it could have taken another year and a half.
SoFi took almost 4 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so longer timeline for a better stadium. And that's what, like, Josh Harris and his team, they want to build the best stadium in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take longer than a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, it's going to take a minimum 3 years.
All right, let's go to Tailgate Ted. Apparently, he went to a stadium discussion last night. He's very plugged in. What's up, Tailgate?
Not much, jokes. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What's up?
So, got invited to a smaller with the West, and the team had some different things talking about this.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Got to find a good spot.
Try and clear him up.
Yeah.
And Tailgate Ted was where last night? Is that a meeting?
Some sort of small stadium discussion. I don't know if it was like a city meeting. I don't think that was the case.
All right, let's try and go back to him.
I think he's actively talking to Drab. There we go. We got him back. Tailgate.
Ted, what's
up? Sorry, guys. So went to an event last night the team had with some D.C. residents over Northwest, and they had the lead architect there, and I'm going to butcher names. So I'm not even going to try, but one of the gentlemen that's in charge of basically working with D.C. City Council. And as a D.C. resident myself, I definitely had some concerns about all this happening, especially also as a season ticket holder, but they addressed everything I was worried about. Right. The taxpayer dollars for D.C., you guys have talked about it. It's going to the infrastructure, and that needs to happen regardless of anything. So the council and the mayor, they're acting like children fighting in the Washington Post and talking to each other through Kevin Sheehan. I mean, this grand thing and the fact that Mendelsohn is trying to push this vote out until after they go to recess and not actually talk to people, it's almost like the mayor is forcing us to vote on July 15th. And you know what? It's our timeline, not hers. So we're going to vote later on, but we're just going to get it done anyway when we want to do it, not when you want us to do it.
Ted, what's your concern level, 0 to 5?
I'd say a 2 at this point. Okay. And I mean, the council knows that something has to be done. And, you know, Mark Seagraves was on talking with J.P. Finley saying that Donald Trump will get involved. The government will get back involved if the council doesn't get their act together, saying that we're just going to receive what we talked about. It's federal land, and that stadium has to happen. And they don't want that to happen because it's an election year. So I think a lot of this is just grandstanding and not letting the mayor win per her deadline. That wouldn't surprise me if they just voted on July 16th instead of the 15th just to make the mayor look bad.
All right. Thanks, Tailgate. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's take a break. We're reaching out to Commanders fans. Are you concerned that this stadium deal is not going to get done? Like Mayor Bowser sounds like she's very concerned on a level of 0 to 5. She's at a 4. That's what she told Kevin. 1-800-636-1067. Taking more of your calls, Commander fans, when we come back.
So this is kind of the news of the day we wanted to start the radio program with here. And we've got a cut sheet. This is Mayor Bowser, who appeared with our buddy Kevin Sheehan. I believe that was yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong about that. But we've got audio for it and want to react to. She also had a tweet that I want to pull up for you guys here in a moment. Basically talking about the opportunity. that's in front of the city. And whether you agree or disagree, here's what she said. This is from this is Mayor Bowser from yesterday. Let me be clear about what the return of the Commanders means for D.C. sports economy. $2.7 billion private investment from the team. 30,000 construction jobs. $5.1 billion in tax revenue. $24.2 billion total economic output over 30 years. We cannot let this window of opportunity close. So I always find myself, when Grant and I have these conversations, and you know, this is not quite to the level of the quote-unquote name debate where we had to do this a million times, where I just was exhausted and just threw my hands up and said, I don't care, a plural noun, please. But we're approaching that. So I always find myself, as I always tell Grant and I tell you guys, I feel like I argue against everybody. So when I say that I think those numbers are patently absurd, that doesn't mean I'm not in favor of a stadium or otherwise. Like the 24.2 billion economic output, that is just a number that's unprovable. In other words, on a micro level, for example, Tobes, let's say you've got the NCAA Final Four in town, which is one of the things that you want to have, and hopefully they will have it if the stadium gets built, okay? Let's say on this campus there at RFK, Toby Altizer, the week of the Final Four, goes to a coffee shop that's on the campus. You buy a coffee and a pastry for $6. Just making up these numbers, $6 for the pastry and a coffee. That's actually a great deal.
Call That'd 10. Be a great deal.
Well, it's called 10 bucks. It's DC, for goodness sakes. So you spend 10 bucks. What they'll go, what the economic output people, or economic impact people would go, the Final Four brought us $10. That's the economic output. 10 new dollars. Now, you might be here for the Final Four. You might just be in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's not bad that you spent 10 bucks on the campus, and then an employee gets paid, employee makes the thing, tax revenue happens, and the cycle continues. But it counts every dollar that's that deal. When people look at economic impact of Super Bowls and its proponents of Super Bowls that come into your town, that will tell you about all the economic input. Well, or output, rather. They don't tell you, what did it cost to clean up the street? Did it cost taxpayers money? Was it a net positive, net negative? It's always this sort of shell game of economics where you're kind of, you know, put your hand over one column and go, look at this column. Doesn't mean it's bad or that it's wrong necessarily to try to tout the virtues of it. But again, some of these numbers I just find patently ridiculous. But that's not really why I wanted to bring that up. So she was on with Kevin yesterday. And some of these comments, I think, are worth us kind of going over, going through, Tobes, if you'll indulge me. So, Darius, let's start right at the top of the cut sheet. Cut number one on how often she's asked if this thing is going to get done.
Well, I'm getting it more now. I think that D.C. residents and sports fans alike have been excited since we made the announcement that we have an exclusive agreement with the Washington Commanders to bring our team home. And people want the council to do their deliberations, get their questions asked, and approve our deal.
So this is the kind of the latest deal. And this goes into cut two, Tobe, so I want to play that one and then have us both react to it. But this is now the start of a potential bit of pressure from one of these sides. So, Darius, we'll just roll right into this. Go ahead on and play cut two on if the window potentially is closing.
Well, this is how I live my life, Kevin, and it has been borne out in many, many experiences, is that sometimes in life, windows of opportunity open. And those people and those organizations who are successful figure out a way to get through the window, because you never know when it's going to close. You never know how fast it's going to close. In this case, I negotiated an exclusive agreement that runs through July 15th after many months of negotiation. And after kind of our own Hail Mary late December of last year, where we got the site in D.C.'s control after decades and decades of being under the control of the National Park Service. So we've done a lot of work. We have the right partner, and the time is now.
So, Darius, final one I want to play so that Toby and I can react to this part of it. Let's go to cut 10, please, the final one on our sheet. Just sort of this is a theme, and you guys will see what I mean in a second, about kind of the level of concern as it pertains to whether or not this thing ultimately gets done.
level of concern. Five, you're really concerned about this deal getting done. Zero, you've got zero concern. Our football team's going to be playing in a brand new stadium on the RFK site by the year 2030. Where are you today?
That's a good question. Listen, I'm concerned right now that everybody buckle down and get to work. I'm not concerned about our deal. Our deal is solid. It pays off for DC. And at the end of the day, I think everybody wants the same thing. So I will put my level of concern, because, you know, when you're a big city mayor, you're concerned about everything. I'll put it at a 4.
There you go. So you can sense that side trying to apply some pressure here. Understandable, right, Tobes? But I guess what this fundamentally boils down to, well, first I want your reaction, but fundamentally what this boils down to is, do you take this July 15th, or it's got to be right now this second, edict seriously? So first your reaction, and second, kind of how real do you think these deadlines are?
I mean, it's interesting, because when you listen to the mayor in that answer, the final one to Kevin, asking about the concern level, the way that she kind of lays it out, it sounds like her answer would have been more like a 2.5, 3. And then she says her concern level is a 4. And she kind of throws some, you know, water on it, saying, look, I'm a big city mayor and I worried about everything. But I think it's interesting that you feel like this is an opportunity, and she feels like this is obviously huge for her legacy as the mayor of D.C. But I think she is starting to look at it saying, we can't miss this, right? Like, we've done all this hard work. We've gotten to this point, and I think this is a point that's missed so often. That land, like she said, was not going to be anything, yep. And then they said, oh, it can be RFK Stadium, not something else, mm-hmm. Where now all these politicians are like, oh, well, we could do this here. It's like, well, you could have been arguing for that years ago, but it's now set aside to be the stadium, essentially, and you're saying, but what if we put a store here? What if we put this here? You're not making any revenue. And so I think, like you're saying, the numbers that the mayor throws out in that tweet saying $24 billion over the next 30 years, which is, you know, just under $1 billion a year, that's awesome. But even so, even if it's half of that, that's $12 billion that you weren't getting before.
Right.
So I think that's something that has to be in. Now, to your point about the July 15th deadline, I don't necessarily buy that. It's a little bit arbitrary. I know there's some stuff to do with, like, the budget and all these things, stuff that I don't fully understand. But this is definitely something that can get approved down the line. But I think part of the reason, too, is Mayor Bowser is doing Josh Harris a favor, too, saying July 15th, like, if you push that back to November, and then suddenly that's February of next year, and then suddenly that's July of 2026, you're just pushing the stadium timeline further and further back. So I think she's helping out by setting that sort of a deadline, or at least coming up with some sort of a deadline saying, let's move this along. We understand in our lives how things go. When you set a deadline, that usually is when work finally gets done. So many times we push things off. So if you put some sort of deadline, it at least creates more discussion. So I don't know that, you know, it passes the July 15th deadline. It's like, oh, it's dead in the water. I don't think anyone's thinking that. But I do think it is a way to kind of drum up, like, there is some urgency to this. We can't just sit on our hands and then it suddenly disappears.
Right. So to me, it's very reasonable. And I know, you know, I wish Grant were in so we could, you know, hammer some of this stuff. But to me, it's reasonable just for the city council or the city in general to go, hey, for example, we're building the parking garage. I get that a lot of it should go to you to help repay this $2.7 billion. Could we get 10%, 15%, 20% instead of getting nothing for an extended period of time? Because that's one of the parameters of the deal. That's not crazy to me, right? Where the team putting in, these are rough cut numbers, 2/3 of the upfront money to build this thing out, you should get 2/3 of whatever's coming your way, right? That, yeah. Where that's the anchor, that's the catalyst, that's the nothing burger, or that's the reason why all this stuff's going to get developed. Same with the rent. Like, I understand you're not going to get market value for that rent of this waterfront property that could go for millions and millions of dollars. The commanders, whose name I hate so much, are going to pay $1 a year according to the parameters of the agreement for however much time. I think it's reasonable to go, could you pay $500,000? You know, whatever, like, just like help us make some of this cash back as we're going to, you know, a cash trap city is going to take out some loans. I don't think that's crazy where they settle again up to some smart adults. So to me, though, the part that I object to, I don't know why I'm on this tangent, but it's something that's been grinding my gears. I don't like what I feel are the sort of disingenuous pie in the sky numbers hammering you over the head. Those aren't the arguments that I buy, Tobes. I buy that the part that you've touched on here, which is the DC Council and whoever is in charge are 100% at fault for not having anything potentially lined up as an alternative. I understand it was a Hail Mary that it took. At some point, they love using consultants for all sorts of crap. At some point, how dare you not have, here's a shopping mall we could put there, whether that wins or not. But where's your option? People that don't want to spend anything. We could put an apartment building there. We could put a putt-putt course there. We could put a dog park there over 50 acres. Whatever the hell you were going to do, nothing lined up at all for any kind of potential alternative. So if it's not this, you're left with very, very little. That's a huge thing for me. So the city council, as far as I'm concerned, individually, these are nice, smart, kind people that have been generous with their time with us explaining their positions, and I certainly appreciate that. And individually, I think they come across very well. But as a unit, hard for me to kind of give a lot of benefit of the doubt and trust and faith, I would say, in everybody doing the right things for the right reasons. So, again, I'm just kind of flailing my fists here, arguing against a lot of different stuff, but just kind of a reaction to the mayor. So let's get back to some of the cuts here, Darius, if we can. I think this is an important deal because for all the public posturing, the things that we see where we might go, uh-oh, that was fairly inflammatory, or uh-oh, that sounds like they're at odds. Remember, just the other night, they're hanging out at Cafe Milano. All the council or whoever from the council and the hog ownership group and everybody's all buddy-buddy. So let's go to cut four here, Darius. When she was asked, the mayor, on with Kevin Sheehan, if she's losing patience with the council at this stage.
Well, this is what I know. And, you know, I served almost 8 years on the council of the district. I chaired the council's economic development committee. I delivered the legislation that approved the Audi field. So I know how the legislative process works. I know the tools that are at the council's disposal. And I think that everybody should be treating this urgently. Nobody should have the kind of nonchalance that I've heard from some that, oh, well, what's a month? What's 2 months? What's 3 months? I think it introduces a level of uncertainty and risk that's intolerable for most business organizations. And the political uncertainty is also real. So that's why it's important that once everybody has what they need and the council has done its own study, which I understand will be delivered in July, actually this week, July 3rd, I was told they would have a draft. They scheduled a hearing. We think they should advance that hearing to no later than July 21st. And I know a lot of people are interested to testify. And then that will line them up for a vote. Now, a lot of people have spoken very positively about the stadium and getting there. So I think everybody just needs to buckle down, work day and night if necessary to get any issues ironed out, and vote.
That was the mayor with Kevin Sheehan. I got one more clip I want to play before we jump here. Let's go to cut seven. I think this is important, too. I know some of this was covered in the excellent Washington Post article where they got pretty much everyone on the council on the record, Tobes, as to what they were looking for, but I want to hear it from the mayor. Let's go to cut seven, Darius, on what exactly the council wants changed in the current proposal.
Well, they won't tell me. I mean, literally, they won't tell me. So I think they gave more to the Washington Post last week than they've told me or the team. And so that's what I'm talking about when I say, let's all get in a room, hammer it out and come up with, if there's terms that make sense. Now I will say, like, we didn't leave a lot. I don't think we left anything on the table. Like, we negotiated hard. We got $2.7 billion, a roofed stadium that's going to generate, tons of economic activity. So I think we've always expected that the council members would negotiate a community benefits package with having spoken to the community and focused on getting D.C. residents employed, having small businesses have opportunities on the site, focus on youth sports. By the way, our deal includes building an indoor sportsplex,
right,
that would be for D.C. And so I think that it's always been contemplated that that community benefits package would be negotiated at the council, at the council's process. And I'm looking forward to that being delivered at the same time.
There was the mayor with Kevin Sheehan. So some a lot of meat on that bone in terms of some of the quotes. It just reminds you of how kind of this process works sometimes in D.C., Tobes, when she said, they told more to the Washington Post than they have to me. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like D.C. to me.
Yeah, you just hope that they can get this thing figured out and ironed out, like she said. I mean, whether it's all coming together, whether it's working, I don't even know. But just find a way to figure out what exactly needs to be fixed, because to me, the deal looks good. I'm not in the nitty-gritty and all that stuff. I'm obviously not representing constituents and wards throughout D.C. I get all that. But the deal looks good to me. And to her point, the amount of money they got from the Commanders seems astronomical and would be crazy to walk away from. But whatever it is, it's also crazy to me to think that a council member or whoever would hold this thing up over something that maybe is a little bit more minor than you would think is necessary to hold up a stadium deal. And so hopefully they can find a way to get this thing to the finish line, because I think it's good for everybody for this thing to end up at the RFK site.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan, talking about what Mayor Bowser said to Kevin Sheehan yesterday. Sheehan asked, level of concern that the deal gets done so that the Commanders move in by 2030 to the RFK site. Out of 5, she gave it a 4. I'm wondering your reaction to that. 800-636-1067. Currently, there are 2 NFL stadiums under construction. The Bills have broken ground on what's going to be the new Highmark Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They broke ground just last year, actually a little over a year ago. The projected date of opening is 2026. So that's a 3-year timeline. And then in Nashville, they broke ground on the new Nissan Stadium. And this is just a projection, but that's a longer timeline. They broke ground in 2024 and they say opened hopefully 2027, but it has the window of 2028. So that's 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, here's why Josh Harris and the other owners have to be concerned, is because Mayor Bowser's urging the council to pass the deal by July 15th, or the deal could be lost. Mendelson, who's the head of the council, told Fox 5 on Monday that after the Budget Support Act is passed in July, he has no plans to call back the council in August during recess to take a vote on the RFK Stadium bill, which means it could get pushed already to September. Mm-hmm. So Harris and his group, I'm sure, look at this like, we're already now two or three months down the road past the timeline. Like, this is just going to keep getting worse and worse if this doesn't get approved and get the ball rolling, start getting the permits, get the shovels in the ground, start demoing RFK. Yep. There's a lot that has to be done.
Yep.
For this to be done,
I'm guessing
on time.
Most of those stadiums, those recent stadiums that were constructed, probably took 3 years.
Yeah.
3 to 4 years.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
That's probably going to be the blueprint.
Of the most recent ones, like Minnesota, which was cited as an example, mm-hmm. right? Mayor Bowser used mm-hmm. Minnesota as an example.
US I know
some
Bank
of these
Stadium.
Articles used Minnesota as an example. That was built in 2.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Kurt in Chevrolet. Kurt, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, folks. Listen, the reason that stadium went up, FedEx went up so fast is because old man Cook wanted to get it up before he died.
Mm-hmm,
he died in April of 97, and it went up. He missed it, you know, because he enjoyed being there with all the celebrities and all that stuff and holding court and all that. And so he was rushing to get it up, because I remember when they were building, it was like, holy cow, this thing's going up fast. And then I figured out, I said, oh, he's trying to get it up before he passes away.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's about a one that it doesn't get done. It's too much money to be made, folks. It's too much money to be made. They'll get it done, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somebody else pointed this out.
No,
I don't follow state politics very closely, but I'm generally aware of this, and somebody tweeted us. Maryland is in a massive deficit situation. So they may not have money to buy, you know, to build the stadium or to offer incentives to Josh Harris and company to bring the team back to Maryland. Yeah, well, they're in Maryland. I shouldn't say back to Maryland. Yeah. But
all right, let's go to David. He's calling in from Bethesda. David, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I don't believe Josh Harris wants to build in D.C. at all. I think he knows the council is going to blow this deadline.
Pump the brakes. Why would you think Josh Harris, who grew up going to Redskins games at RFK, why would he not want to be in D.C. and bring the team back to kind of like its birthright spot? Why would you think that?
Because he's going to make a lot more money in Maryland, and he's going to get a lot better deal in Maryland, and he doesn't want to deal with all the BS in D.C., and if the council blows it, then he can get the fan base to understand it wasn't his fault that he didn't return to the historic birthplace of the team. So he goes out to Landover. He can blame the council. That's why he's sticking to the July 15 thing. And they're going to blow the deadline, and he's going to walk.
Possible.
Okay, I mean, it's a wacky
theory. You call
theory.
Us back if it happens.
I guess. Maybe.
I don't think it's a wacky theory, but.
I mean.
I don't know. He had said multiple times that he wanted to bring the team back to RFK. You think he was just lying?
I don't really know, but what I will tell you is that I didn't make this theory up, that this is a concern that a lot of people in the Washington business community have because they really want him to build in D.C., and commercial real estate is a mess in D.C., and if he goes to Maryland, it's really going to hurt a lot of people, and this is what people think. I don't know if it's really true or not, but it's plausible to me.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Dave.
But if he wanted to,
appreciate it.
If he wanted at the end of the day to build Maryland, why was he even discussing with
the
council?
If he really wanted, he could have stayed in Maryland and not dealt with D.C. at all, if that's the case.
I don't believe that.
800-636-1067 is the number. Are you as concerned as Mayor Bowser is about the pending delay in the council vote to get the RFK Stadium site? She's at a 4 out of 5 concern level. Where are you? Let's go to Steve calling in from Fairfax. Steve, you're all with the Junks.
What's up, boys?
Hey, what's up?
I'm at a 1. I mean, I'm not really concerned about it. One, the term sheet of the agreement from Congress for the RFK Act said the number one bullet point was this property is to be used for a stadium. And sounds like a lot of people in the federal government are already getting, involved with this. I know the guy that supported the bill with Bowser is supposed to meet with Mendelsohn about this, so and have a conversation with him about this. So I think there's a lot of higher ups that really, really want this, and Josh Harris's plan B, if he has a plan B, is just to go to Trump and just say, hey, want to help me out here? There's a workaround here. Mark Seagraves has already floated it by. Mendelsohn has already confirmed that those conversations have happened. I mean, a lot of strong people, strong influence want this thing to happen in the city. So that's my 2 cents about it. I think it's going to happen one way or another. And I'm not sure if you guys know this or not, but, you know, the deadline on July 15th, there's actually language for them to pass it, so I think that permits and stuff can start getting rolling. That's not the full legislation, but they're leaving some kind of language in July 15th's budget hearing for the RFK site, and I believe that is specifically for the language for the permits, the everything, and then the bigger vote comes, 2 weeks or a month. And if you listen to Mendelsohn, everybody's talking about, being in good faith, working in good faith. So I think that's what's happened.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. 800-636-1067. We're taking your calls on the latest about the RFK Stadium saga. Mayor Bowser was on with Kevin Sheehan yesterday on Team 980. She said her level of concern currently is a 4 on a 5 scale as far as it being delayed. Let's go to Peter calling in from D.C. What's up, Peter?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
You guys are sleeping on the design schedule. So, I mean, I see this probably being at least 18 months with all the requirements and reviews that are needed by all the stakeholders, the neighborhoods. I mean, that's going to 5 years for this type of project is probably tight.
You think? Okay. Well, I think JP's just basing it on the actual construction. So, but there is a lot of paperwork that has to be done. No doubt.
Yeah. I think the
one would hope that they've
probably a safe bet.
Yeah. One would hope that they've been working on the design. And it sounds Ted went to the meeting yesterday, there was an architect there. So I don't think that they're doing nothing right now behind the scenes.
There's no design. There's concepts. They don't work for free. So no one's going to sign a contract on a, you know how many people are probably involved in the design with all the consultants. I mean, there's no design in place at this point.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Peter. And look, the meeting that Tailgate Ted went to, it wasn't like a meeting with the team owners and the people who are actually going to be like contributing to the architecture and design of the stadium. It sounds like it was just like a community group that was trying to help bring the stadium downtown.
Yeah.
Okay. So like
it does take a while. I mean, the Viking Stadium was approved by the state government and the governor in May of 2012. They didn't unveil the stadium plans, the design, until over a year later, and the stadium finally opened in July of 2016. So even though it might take 2.5 years to build it, there is the extra year and a half. It is like a 4 to 5 year process.
Yeah. I believe that's five-year window.
That's why Mayor Bowser she's a little panicking. She has reason to panic. She knows that the time frames it takes to get a project of this magnitude, of this scope, done.
And then
she knows. Then, she's well aware.
Then think about the counter offer the council members are going to send her.
Right.
So let's say that is completely out of left field, and that surprises her and her team and the commanders. Then all of a sudden, they got to deliberate that and then go send it back and do another counter to their counter.
You know, if I was Josh Harris, you know what my counter would be? My counter would be, I'm already plunking down $2.7 billion. This is the counteroffer, my original offer. I mean, 2.7 is a lot out of his own pocket. Now, I understand the tax burden that's going on the D.C. residents is pretty big as well. It's right around $1 billion. That's a lot of money. But as Mayor Bowser talked about, I don't know if we have that part of the clip. No other NFL owners digging into their own pockets for $2.7 billion to help construct the stadium. Nobody.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash.
No other owners are doing that.
Yep.
So the council, I understand they want more concessions. They want more for, you know, the people that live in D.C. I understand that. But they also have to understand the massive investment Harris and his group are willing to make in D.C. Like nobody.
Yeah, and I don't believe that theory that he doesn't really want to be in D.C. It's all posturing.
Of course. I don't believe that either.
And he knows that the council is going to disapprove it, and then he's not going to be in D.C. He's ultimately going to be in Maryland because that's where he originally wanted to be.
Right.
I don't believe that for a second.
No. All right. Let's go to Justin in Manassas. He's a construction manager. Can give that perspective. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Junks. How you doing?
Good morning. Great. Appreciate you calling.
First time caller and everyday listener. Love you guys, man.
Thank you, man.
I'm a commercial construction manager, and while I don't do stadiums, of course, that's kind of a niche thing. I just wanted to kind of explain the process of why it will take probably like 5 years or such.
Okay, please.
A couple of the callers already kind of touched on it, you know, the permits and stuff. That takes a little bit of while, especially in D.C. You know, I've done work in D.C. and around the DMV area. The design process, I mean, something that big is going to take at least a year, and then it's going to go back and forth between Josh Harris, the NFL, the stakeholders, the city for redesign and all that kind of stuff. And then the land part for RFK, I mean, I'm not too worried about them getting that. You know, I'm sure they'll work something out, work their magic. But I mean, the demolition and abatement process of RFK alone and cleanup is probably going to take at least 4, 5, 6 months. You got to get all that asbestos out of there. And then once it's actually demolished, you know, clean up, probably going to have to repave the entire parking lot to put the infrastructure down. And then the project itself will probably only take about two and a half years after they mobilize. And that's not accounting for weather, of course, and things like that, since it is outdoors work. And then after the fact, you mean you got the punch list. So after it's all done, the NFL, Josh Harris, everybody's going to walk it, every little aspect of the stadium, and they're going to point out all the flaws. So this piece is broken. This needs to be replaced. You know, I don't think the NFL and Josh Harris will want to put out an unfinished, unpolished product FedEx Field.
Right. And that could take another 6 months or to a year to fix it all up. Yeah, no doubt.
Thanks, Justin.
It's a big window, no doubt.
Yeah. So that's the process. And, you know, before you let me go, that just a small suite could take a couple months to do. So just take that into perspective.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Interesting perspective, no doubt.
And you know weather will be a factor.
Oh, yeah, it certainly will.
I mean, if it's going to take 2.5-3 years, weather is going to be a factor.
Yep, it certainly will be. The largest fireworks store on the East Coast is now open. That's great news for Valdez. It's called Guerrilla Fireworks, the largest selection of major brands of the good stuff that Valdez likes, like firecrackers, rockets, mortars, artillery shells, repeaters, Roman candles, fountains, and much more. And you don't have to drive to Pennsylvania or south of the border either. Just 30 minutes from the DMV, Guerrilla Fireworks is located in Charlestown, West Virginia, 1 mile from the Hollywood Casino. Great deals all year long with our entire inventory. Either buy one, get one free, or buy one, get two free. Hurry in before the 4th of July frenzy starts. Let Guerrilla Fireworks light up your sky on your 4th of July.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and all the boys are back in town. Good morning, Brian.
What up, brother? What's happening with you?
Not much, man. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. I am here. Shout out to Metropolitan Moving and Storage, wearing the quarter zip they gave me. I love this quarter zip. It's very comfortable. If you're watching on the stream, you can see it. Bang. Everybody's here. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, White Brian. Good morning, Landfill. Feels good to see everybody.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, this is, I mean, Brian's clearly excited to see everybody. I mean, this is about as slow of a week as slow weeks get.
The NBA changed that yesterday, dog.
Yeah, a lot
happened.
The
NBA said, hell, it's slow. We're going to make somebody a $70 million man.
Right, but if you notice with the NBA, it used to be, and maybe this is kind of teams have gotten smarter, because I feel like we see it in the NFL too. Free agency is a lot less of a thing now. I think way more teams.
Well, you're not paying attention yesterday, dude. They would have people. There's a movement going on yesterday.
Sure, but like, there's no mega name hitting free agency anymore. Miles Turner is probably the biggest name.
I mean, I don't even think he's made an All-Star. The way that they got it set up in the NBA, you know, signing Shea to that deal. That's why they don't go to free agency.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if you make first team all pro, second and the third team all pro, you're getting paid.
Right.
You don't have to move.
Right. There was a time though where guys were moving all. I mean, LeBron famously took his talents to South Beach.
The numbers that are coming out were astronomical. And I believe, hell, LeBron about to move again, I believe.
Do you really?
Hell yeah. He didn't do that deal to say he's staying there. He did that deal so they can move him.
You think so? Gosh, that guy just loves himself. I don't know the right way to describe it, but hey, like,
got a little T.O. in him. He good.
He does have a little T.O. in him. I wonder if we can get odds on LeBron moving. So we're all kind of in the same boat today. The Nats game got canceled last night. Did you get hit with that rain at all?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a game you had to cancel.
On my way home yesterday, I was like, okay, then. This is, you see, it was getting dark. And I'm like, listen, if it gets dark, then it just lightens up, and I'm gonna be pissed off. I was supposed to have a good golf match yesterday. All of a sudden, sky opened up. No golf. But then, what, 15, 20 minutes later, it was like, oh, bam, it's gone now. But then it came back a little bit later. But then as the night went on, it just had this little light drizzle the whole night, stayed around, that little annoying drizzle.
So for me, because I just never stopped driving anymore, I drove
from Richmond to Fairfax to pick up my car. Shout out to Orsman Fairfax Toyota. And then I had to drive home Fairfax to Bethesda. And you can only imagine how much fun the Beltway was with the storms and Tyson's and the construction. I ended up cutting through McLean. Shout out to Dead Run Drive. But so the girls are supposed to have a swim meet last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one that got canceled a couple of weeks ago for rain. Right. So they, according to my swimming insider, who is my wife, they really had to get this one in for like the official, you know, record book on the season.
Is there an indoor pool out there at all?
There is, but it's way too small. Oh. Yo, the indoor pool out
that's
there.
That's the next thing they build. They always building onto that clubhouse. Build a big ass indoor pool.
Can I tell you what I'd prefer? Let's just chill with building new stuff. Let's just relax.
That's not going to happen, Jay. Listen, it's been building on that thing since I got here. They're going to always add something new.
Dude, next time you're over there, I'll show you the indoor pool. So that building was built in 1924, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the indoor pool is original.
Okay, well, they need to move that. They need to change that.
Like, B, if you can imagine, like, if Great Gatsby's house had an indoor pool, that's what it is. Like, mm-hmm. it's ornate, but it's just very old. I think there's like grandfather clauses. I don't know. But so then we're waiting.
If you had an indoor pool, you wouldn't have to worry about the rain.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm just saying.
So then there was no swim meet. So we went out to dinner, and I said to my wife, I was like, "You want to drive? Like, I've been in a car since Friday." She was like, "No." So then I got to drive us to dinner. But it was a nice time. I had a dude come up to me, say he loved the show. Said, "You and B. Mitch are the best." So shout out to that dude.
I tell you, boy. All these people keep coming up to us. I tell you.
Obviously, a lot of movement yesterday in the NBA, in the NHL. There's also a lot of talk about the Commander Stadium as it just kind of keeps continuing here.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any feedback? Anybody reach out to you yesterday at all?
Mm-mm.
I would say the same thing. I think the mayor is concerned, but I think it's more, I think folks got to really understand how much the Harris ownership group is trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a dude in my mentions last night kind of hitting me and telling me, you know, the problem is the folks that the council members that aren't into the deal as currently constituted don't think the city is in line to get enough of the cash, whether it's parking or the bars in there or the whatever, right? They think the city should be getting a bigger cut.
Let me ask you a question. What cut are they getting right now? See, that's the thing. I'm baffled by people that something has been sitting there for well over 30 years, and you haven't been getting a damn thing from it.
Right.
Now you're going to dictate how much you... I think anything is better than zero for a city that needs money. How about get stuff going and begin to do that? Don't shut it down before it starts, because guess what? The next person don't want to come do anything either.
I understand that maybe you want a better deal, right? Like, I think everybody always wants more money, more advantages, whatever it is, right? Like, I get that. That's human nature. But I think you got to also, what's the old phrase? Like a bird in hand versus two in the bush. Sometimes mm-hmm. take the bird in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know, Brian. Like, I gave the hypothetical example yesterday, right? Like, American University decides they want to build a hospital, build a medical school, and they want to do it at the RFK site. Like, okay, that's a viable, legitimate investment that will create jobs and mm-hmm. and be a boom for the area.
Yeah.
I don't think it would create the same that a new stadium would, but, like, if that offer was on the table for that land, okay, yeah. I can wrap my brain around that.
Yeah.
I don't think that offer's out there.
See, that's the thing.
These dudes have billions of dollars.
This is a typical Vinny, Dan, trying to get Albert Haynesbury here deal. They're negotiating against themselves. So the council right now is saying, oh, we want more, but you don't have nothing else that wants to go there. So, and let's be real. If it were, we would be hearing about it. We damn sure would be hearing about it. We haven't heard one thing about anything else trying to go there.
Dude, like if Bezos was just coming to town to rebuild, you know, whatever it is, HQ2,
mm-hmm.
Okay, then you got something else that's viable. It doesn't seem like there's anything else viable.
Yeah.
And so I feel like we're just, I don't know.
Sometimes people want to argue against stuff just to argue against it, and they have nothing else in mind, nothing else in the plans. And that's when I believe that you're not working for the constituents, you're working for you and your pride, okay, to be able to say, look what I did. But you better be able to build something, because ultimately people are going to want to know what the hell is going there then.
Right.
Because right now for over 30 years it's been an eyesore. It's even more of an eyesore now. The more rust gets onto it, it's an eyesore.
Totally.
What are you going to do about it?
So one thing that did catch my ear last night. So got the kids to bed. I sit down in the chair trying to, you know.
Hey, Martin, grab my ears.
I turned the TV on, and it was on ESPN, and they were doing like a free agency thing. I had never heard of this. Basketball players are now getting turf toe.
But they are now getting, they've been getting turf toe. That's not new.
You're not playing on turf.
Dude, people don't have to play on turf to get turf toe. Turf toe happens on grass. What you talking about?
Right, but how does it happen on a basketball court?
It's the same thing. It's the ligament getting inflamed, no matter if it's a basketball court.
So explain it. I don't know. I heard it, so. Jaren Jackson.
It can happen to hockey players on ice.
What is it?
Turf toe is inflamed, that ligament or whatever, the joint gets inflamed.
Where?
Like in your toe, big-ass toe.
On the big toe?
Yeah, normally the big toe. So you can get it anywhere. If you jam it.
You ever have
strain
it?
Strain it? No. Well, yeah, maybe a little, but I never had nothing that kept me out of a game. Then again, I'm crazy, so I'm different.
So here's what, now obviously,
because the name of it, I know the name of it, people go turf toe, and you brought it to the radio too. You don't play on turf. You can get turf toe anywhere, dog.
Clearly.
It's people that don't play sports that get turf toe. They
maybe Jeff
around.
Has it. Jeff, you ever had turf toe?
No.
Okay, good.
But I know some people
keep
who
it
have.
Clean. Keep it clean, Jeff.
Yeah, carpet toe.
So a lot of people.
Man, I had carpet burn on my knees before with the legs. Say now.
Lord, ever.
Yo, that didn't.
YouTube, boy.
Sound
you.
Like I think you wanted it to sound. Yeah. Like, it why did, are you on your knees, dog?
That's why I said with the ladies.
Okay.
Still.
Hey, man, you do you, buddy. So. What is? Are you still Raleigh bound? What's your plan?
Yeah.
When are you guys heading out this afternoon?
Yeah.
Will you take one car or what?
Yeah.
So what about when you inevitably want to go play golf?
There's two cars at my daughter's house, and my son has a car too.
That's true. Where you stay with Bria? Who do you stay with?
Yeah, I probably stay Bria's house.
Okay. How long are you coming back? Sunday? When are you coming back?
I'll be back here for Monday.
I will not. I will not, sir. I think. It's going to be – so, dude, here's my point about the NBA. Obviously, SGA getting paid is the headline. I mean, 70 – dude, they were saying last night, by the second or third year of that contract, he's going to make more per game. He's going to make more than $1 million per game.
He'll be making $1 million per game or more, yeah.
I think by the third year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Hell yeah.
And like
there's one thing about sports. All these owners that always talk about how poor they are, you're not that. If you're paying people this type of deal, you're not poor. You're making money. You're just lying.
I agree. So this is from ESPN, Kevin Pelton. Obviously, the biggest news is the SGA extension.
Uh-huh.
But of the actual dudes that are hitting free agency, so Miles Turner, I think, is – So in this ESPN article, they wrote proven starter in his prime. I think that's pretty fair to describe Turner. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a star player or anything. Do you know, like, the next best?
He was exceptional down the stretch in the regular season. Played great early in the playoffs, and he didn't play very well down in the finals.
And he got paid.
Yeah, he could play, though.
He could play. Yeah. But he's not, like, an all-star. Like, he's not – if you're putting the NBA into tiers, he's a second or third tier player.
He's a second tier guy, yeah. But he's on his way. He's not completely there. But I think the thing about it is we always discuss stars. You don't just win with the star.
I agree with that.
You got to win with those other guys, too.
NBA free agency used to be these guys going all over, and it was crazy. Do you know the this is according to ESPN. The top free agent listed on this ESPN list.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Giddey.
Okay.
Quentin Grimes.
But Jay, LeBron, when he went, and then you started getting guys following that suit. Even prior to LeBron, guys didn't move a lot. They grandfathered people in and allowed them to pay the stars more money to keep them in those areas. That's been going on for years.
One thing I mean, what's Julius Randle going to do?
I think Julius Randle went back.
He re-signed with Minnesota?
I thought he did.
He's an interesting cat. And what's up with Karl Anthony Towns? Is he still under contract with the Knicks?
I don't know.
Bodega Cat? I like that nickname. I don't know, man. The NBA used to have like this incredible offseason that you just were glued to, and it just feels a little more subdued because of the nature of the contracts. The biggest stars are going to stay where they are and sign those supermax.
If you really,
you'd be crazy not to
if
sign
you really
supermax.
Think about it, the biggest stars basically stayed until LeBron left, and then you started seeing people trying to join up with the three people on the teams. Prior to that, you didn't have that, and then after LeBron. KD moved, Kawhi bounced around, Paul George jumped, and James Harden. Same people were moving all the time. Other guys were signing right back to their teams.
Yeah, I mean, have the Wizards done anything? Have they made a roster move?
They drafted two people.
Three.
Three people.
Wizards news. It's probably going to be about like Harry Potter. All right, Bullets Forever, 2 hours ago. Let's see what you got here.
I think the Wizards are going to do what they're doing until after that. We talked to Chase was yesterday.
Yeah.
After that last first-round pick that they have to be the one that's protected, after they can keep that in their hands, then they'll start doing stuff. They're not trying to be very, very great next year.
So, according to Bullets Forever, shout out to Albert Lee, wrote this article. Malcolm Brogdon is a free agent who could be talking with the Kings. According to Albert Lee, he doesn't think Brogdon's coming back. Tristan Vucevic, who I like. I thought he was pretty good down the stretch. They gave him a two-way qualifying offer, so I guess he's a RFA. So that sounds like they could keep him. And then the other dude is JT Thor. I think Jeff predicted him to be a Supermax player. Unclear if he'll be back. Chris Middleton, it sounds like they're going to keep. That seems like it for your Wizards free agency update. Obviously, what they're trying to do, what they're trying to build, there's not a lot of focus on right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I wanted to do this. I met a young man the other night named Jack Smith. He does play-by-play for the Fredericksburg Nationals. This dude is crazy impressive.
A fretnet.
Like, I wish I could buy stock in a person's career, because this dude will be calling, I don't know what, maybe he's a baseball guy, whatever sport he really wants to go after. B, when you hear this kid, you're not going to believe he's 21 or whatever. Jack Smith will join us next. Our guy Neil Greenberg is going to join us at 11. The current plan is for the Nats to play baseball at 1 o'clock. If that happens, we go. We'll keep you updated on the current plans Nobody go anywhere. This is B. Mitch and Finley.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.